It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Thursday, March 7th. I'm Erin Fulton with Raven News. A grand jury indicted four Sitkins last month on charges ranging from burglary to misconduct involving a controlled substance. KCAW's Meredith Reddick brings us this Sitka Trial Court roundup for the month of February.
30-year-old Jason Sviller was arrested on January 30 by Officer Parker White after the owner of a local inn told police she had video of Sviller burglarizing the property. According to court documents, the owner said that Sviller had allegedly stolen a keycard and entered the property on at least six occasions to steal food, including a box of donuts, an open bottle of creamer, and two cups of coffee. Sviller was indicted by a Sitka grand jury on February 15 for three counts of burglary in the second degree. That's a Class C felony. 35-year-old Shay Grogan was indicted on February 15 for one count of theft in the first degree and one count of fraudulent use of an access device or identification document, both Class B felonies. According to court documents, Grogan allegedly committed theft of more than $25,000 between November 2019 and February 2022. Grand juries also indicted two Sitkins on drug charges. 32-year-old Jordan McGraw was indicted in Juneau on February 22 after law enforcement intercepted about 280 suspected fentanyl pills and 20 grams of methamphetamine in a parcel sent from Washington State to Sitka on February 12. Investigators observed McGraw picking up the parcel and subsequently found evidence that McGraw had opened the parcel. McGraw allegedly told officers that he was planning to deliver the parcel to its intended recipient, but had first opened it to obtain some of the drugs. McGraw was indicted on two felony counts of misconduct involving a controlled substance. Finally, 55-year-old Isaac Needham was indicted on February 8 on two counts of misconduct involving a controlled substance and three counts of misconduct involving weapons. All were Class C felony charges. A jury trial for McGraw is scheduled for May of this year. Trial dates for all other defendants are pending.
The Alaska Raptor Center in Sitka is looking for a new director. Jennifer Cross, who's run the organization for the last 7 years, is stepping down this week, and the board is hoping to find someone with her qualities, or at least the Alaska factor, to take her place. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Running a nonprofit and one of the state's largest tourist venues is not easy. And apparently, Jennifer Cross has done it well.
Ideally, it would be great if Jen had a twin that we could hire and put in the center there.
Roger Hames chairs the board of the Alaska Raptor Center.
She's been dynamic in so many ways to manage the growth of where we are today.
The Alaska Raptor Center has been on a growth trajectory over the last few years, with gross receipts of over $2 million in 2021, double the income from 2018. Hames says that the center's new director will benefit from some momentum.
Jen's impact was significant to the point where, you know, what she has put in place will carry on for many, many, many months, if not a few years, before anyone else gets up to speed and comes in and wants to be the leader of the Raptor Center.
Hames says that Cross's principal legacy will be a master plan called Vision 2040. The document outlines millions of dollars in potential investment over the next two decades to support the care of the birds, develop the campus facilities, build housing for seasonal staff and for visiting researchers, and improve the flow of visitors around the center. Hames says the record numbers of cruise visitors over the last two summers brought not just increased revenues, but also a reckoning of sorts.
It has presented a lot of problems that come along with that when you just have a tremendous amount of people that show up throughout the day. Even with trying to manage the times of buses coming and so forth, and I know that Jen and her staff had to make some modifications this year to accommodate what is going to be another banner year for visitors.
The board of the Raptor Center has contracted with a national recruitment firm to search for Cross's replacement. They've budgeted for a 90-day search. Hames, who has significant experience hiring on other nonprofit boards as well as in his own business, says if they can't duplicate Cross, at least they'll want someone with what he calls the Alaska factor.
Whether they like it here or whether they don't like it here, or if they have a spouse or significant other that they bring with them and they come, maybe that person doesn't like it here. It puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the person you've hired. So it's kind of a roll of the dice, unless they're familiar or working somewhere in Alaska, you know, currently. It makes it easier.
Jennifer Cross's last full-time day at the Alaska Raptor Center is March 9th. She's agreed to work on an interim basis until her successor has been hired. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The University of Alaska Southeast's student news publication says the Juneau campus and its Title IX office aren't doing enough to protect students from sexual assault. It's led to student outcry and prompted campus officials to bring their concerns to the university's Board of Regents. In Juneau, KTOO's Clarice Larson has this story.
Title IX is a federal law that prohibits sexual discrimination, including sexual violence, in educational programs and activities in the U.S. All public and private schools, school districts, colleges, and universities must comply with its regulations. In mid-February, students from the University of Alaska Southeast student paper, The Whale Song, wrote in an editorial that the Juneau campus wasn't protecting students under that law when they reported sexual violence. AJ Schultz, the publication's student editor, says the editorial was a response to a long-running problem.
There are so many instances of Title IX systems failing individuals and groups at this university. And I, in my role, was just bringing that forward and trying to fairly assess all the systems at play that kind of created that environment.
The editorial included stories from multiple students who say the university mishandled reports of sexual assault and in turn made them feel unsafe to share reports in the future. And since the editorial came out, students have been sharing their stories on social media and pressuring the university for change at a series of listening sessions held on campus.
Me and everybody else in Whale Song and everybody who's been coming to the listening sessions and helping me in fighting for this are just trying to push mainly the Board of Regents to create stronger support systems across the entire university network that exist for survivors trying to go through the grievance process safely for their physical and mental health.
Dr. Aparna Palmer took over as chancellor last summer, and Mitzi Bolaños Anderson became the school's Title IX coordinator in October. The two have been at the forefront of the campus response to student outcry. Beginning in early February, the university began hosting the Title IX listening sessions. Palmer says they're a chance to hear students' concerns and work to address them.
I do think that these are issues that probably have been kind of collecting under the surface for quite a while. It definitely precedes me.
Palmer says students have made it clear that they don't think one employee overseeing the Title IX office is enough. Palmer shared the students' concerns regarding UA Title IX policies at a Board of Regents meeting in late February. She said the university plans to hire a deputy Title IX coordinator to help Bolaños Anderson in her work. That person will begin this month.
By no means are we done in terms of how we have already responded. There's more to do. I come to you today as chancellor to ask for your continued support and advocacy with regard to Title IX.
During the meeting, UA President Pat Pitney said she takes the UAS students' concerns seriously as the UA system continues working to better its Title IX policies and response. In 2019, the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights said the UA system had badly failed students and staff who were sexually harassed and assaulted.
This was a major topic for the board for several years, and we've made tremendous progress. They are challenging, and we want to continue to improve on the progress we've made over the last several years.
In 2019, a campus climate survey estimated that more than 4,000 students across Alaska campuses have experienced some form of sexual assault, either on or off campus, since enrolling. Still, local experts like Mandy Cole, the executive director of AWARE, Juneau's domestic violence support organization, says rising reports of sexual assault don't necessarily mean campuses have gotten more dangerous. It just means more people are coming forward with their stories.
My answer is that it's always been there, It's always been there, and it's always been just as bad as it is today forever. And the only way it gets better is if we talk about it.
Palmer, the UAS chancellor, says the listening sessions will continue in the coming months. Bolaños Anderson said the changes already taking place wouldn't have happened if students hadn't shared their concerns. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
Taking a look at the community calendar. The public is invited to attend the Seawalk Project meeting at 6:30 p.m. today in Harrigan Centennial Hall, Meeting Room 1. Sitka Pioneers of Alaska is meeting at 5:30 p.m. today at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Hall. Pat Kehoe teaches the basics of watercolor techniques at 6 p.m. on Thursdays through March at the Sitka Sound Science Center. Sitka Public Library and Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium offer free public doc talks about pregnancy and birth continuing at 6:30 p.m. today, March 7th, and March 21st at the Sitka Public Library. And Sitka Tribe of Alaska enrolled citizens, STA staff, and their families are invited to free open swim at 7 p.m. Thursdays through June 27th at the Mount Edgecombe High School Aquatic Center. I'm Erin Fulton, and this has been Raven News.